woman. A strike.
They want to strike, McGregor.
You miss one day of work, Scargill, and this miner dies.
Strike, Arthur, strike!
Strike, the bloodshed begins. Strike, at a cinema near you.
Football. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Belton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFallon.
Hello.
It's been a couple of weeks, but, you know, it's early doors. Early
ease yourself in.
Yeah, ease yourself in. And, of course, we've got an international break coming up. Yay! but, of course, yeah, we all stayed up to, 6 o'clock in the evening yesterday to watch the deadline day, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm still tired from all that.
Oh, it was very exciting, wasn't it? Yeah, it was good because they had to cut it short just so they could get the Johnson's Pate trophy in, you know, just in case there were any last-minute deals going there. But it went on to midnight in Scotland, so I should think after 6 o'clock on Sky Sports, it was all about Scotland, wasn't it?
I didn't see it.
Did you not?
No.
Let's assume that it was.
I banged my head on a railing and I can no longer see the colour yellow.
You are now yellow blind, aren't you?
Indeed, I'm thinking of setting up a support group.
Yellow blind. That's going to be a Dutch player, isn't it?
It's going to be, yeah.
Signed for Southampton in 2017. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been tracking him for years. Fantastic player.
Yes. Yellow blind. You heard about him here first. Okay? Yeah.
Star of the future, that boy.
Yes. Yeah, it's obviously one of those players that is actually just one of the made-up players in Football Manager and actually starts getting a buzz about him on Twitter because people think he's actually real.
Mm. But for all we know, we've said something incredibly offensive in Dutch.
I think that's easily done, though, isn't it? Yeah. The transfer window's closed, and you know, obviously you guys, you know, you're going to be quite happy with that because like you've probably bought a dozen players each, haven't you?
We bought nine.
Nine. Sunderland have bought nine
That's
players.
A whole new team.
Was that two on the last day or just the one?
Just the one. We bought Barini the day before.
Yep. Right. So there you go. And Palace. Yeah.
No.
But you didn't lose a player, did you? Or did you?
We've only lost players that I think that we wanted to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that with Glenn Murray was the main one. $5 million, I think, to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Which is a great move for him because he did look like he wasn't going to feature that much.
Yeah. Mm.
So if it prolongs his career a little bit more, and I'm sure he'll do a job at Bournemouth, I'm convinced of it. Yeah. Eddie Howe's a great coach.
Mm. Yeah. Before we go on, I know everyone else is going to be doing transfer podcast this week because you know because otherwise it's back to the 2,000 yard stare for them, isn't it? But obviously we did come up with the idea of what it's like to watch my club beat Jose Mourinho's Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But one of our number doesn't really know about that, so there you go. We couldn't really say that. So it's congratulations to Palace emulate Sunderland.
Indeed, it is a truly famous victory and a peculiar feeling.
Yeah, we could do like a sub podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's your favourite signing of the summer then, Terry? For your club or in general?
I'm going to stick with my club, and I would stick with Kabay. I think he's the most interesting signing that we've made. But I will, with an honourable mention to Connor Wickham.
Yeah.
I like the look of him. I like the cut of his jib. I wasn't certain about him.
I think he's a really
big, powerful player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's more to come from him. He's very young. We got him.
How old is he? 23?
No, I don't think he's in that old. I think we got him at 18.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
He was at Ipswich for a while.
Yeah,
he was doing good things down there.
Breaking through at Ipswich.
But he came to Sunderland and didn't do much there initially. I think the powers that be were a little disappointed with his commitment at the time.
But then he had that great period at the end of the season.
Well, he came back from loan, and then we were. It was the first great escape, and it was against Manchester City, and I think he bagged a couple of goals against them, and
he
didn't stop scoring.
Towards the end. Yeah.
But he's a good player. I think he got a good signing.
Certainly got enough talent there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you reckon about Januzaj?
to Dortmund.
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting one. I can only think that they must have an option to buy him, because I don't know whether or not they would take him on just to develop him and then give him back to Manchester United. So there must be an option to buy him.
Am I right in saying that because Kuba's gone, isn't he?
Kuba has gone. He's gone to Florence, which is a sadness, because he is.
Do you see that as a like for like?
I suspect that probably Januzaj will probably start on the bench for the most part.
Right.
I would imagine that they'll be probably rotating their forward line quite a lot.
Sure.
Kuba, I think, is more of a dedicated winger. Mm. And that's possibly why he was surplus to requirements. And also, he's been injured in a long time. And so maybe they just thought, well, go and get some first team football.
Yeah. Always a player you expected more out of. I always thought, anyway.
He's a legend at Dortmund. He's loved. And he did great things. But his best, in many respects, his best years were perhaps just as that Klopp team was reaching its peak.
Yeah.
And he's been blighted by injury. But he is loved at Dortmund. And his departure was observed with great sorrow, as was Kevin Grosskreutz. Only that didn't happen because Galatasaray didn't get their paperwork in time, and so he ended up, after having been pretty much unofficially unveiled in Istanbul, having to come home. Yeah.
Oh, so he's actually in the country.
He flew over, but there was a missing signature on the paperwork, and back he came. So Dortmund are stuck with Big Kev for at least until the winter transfer window. And Kev is, bereft, presumably playing in the reserves. He's been playing in the reserves for since the start of the season. But Januzaj will be, I think, a versatile signing. It is interesting that he seems to have gone into a bit of, he didn't quite hit the heights of his early promise. But Thomas Tuchel is proving to be an extremely good coach. And if anyone could get the best out of him, you'd think it was him.
Mm. What about you, Jan? What do you reckon about this transfer window?
Well, there's been a lot. It broke another record, didn't it? Was it 800 million?
According to Sky's children need totalizer, it went somewhere really, really embarrassing, and they were really, really proud of that.
What surprised me, and we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? Was the number of transfers that actually happened. So it's not necessarily the money, but it was. I think there's a statistic floating around saying the average Premier League team signed 7 players, which is incredible.
It is, when you consider that Arsenal signed one.
Yeah, exactly.
So you only signed one during the summer?
One, during the whole summer.
And you signed obviously. Yeah. Okay, so you've signed a goalkeeper.
Yes.
Yeah, but he is arguably one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
He wasn't the best one in Chelsea, but...
they're
big enough club to have two very good goalkeepers.
I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah.
We've signed goalkeepers of that age before, and they've done us really good service. So, like, goalkeepers like... I'm old enough to remember Pat Jennings, and he was about that age when he came from Tottenham.
Yeah, and people want to remember, he came from Tottenham.
Yeah, so, and he had 7 seasons at Arsenal. And also Jens Lehmann was about the same age when he came over. He's one of the Invincibles. A little bit scatty, but he's an interesting man.
Colourful character, absolutely.
Another thing as well is that when Wenger joined, Dave Seaman was 31 at the time, and he still had... Yeah. Very minimal seasons under Arsene Wenger.
So. I read on Twitter, so this may not be that have happened, but I read on Twitter that a Arsenal, an associated supporters club or...
The Supporters Trust, even.
The Trust.
Yes.
Are launching an inquiry, or want an inquiry as to why there was no transfer activity close to deadline.
They want an inquiry. I don't know if this is this means that someone like Gerald Kaufman is going to be in a room in Whitehall like with lots of civil servants around him, like bringing out like
maybe when this fellow Chilcott's finally done with his report.
Oh, he's got a way to go yet. That's
right. Do you think that? It's my opinion that football club trusts should stick to, their concerns should largely be about the supporting of the club and not telling a manager how to do their job.
Well, certainly, and I certainly hope. Well, it depends. I mean, like do these is this Supporters Trust saying, look, if you need more money from us, we'll gladly pay you more for our season tickets.
Do you think that their reasoning is because they spend a lot of money on tickets for the club and therefore feel that their return should be in the form of new players?
Maybe.
But that's an entitlement.
Maybe they feel that way. is if you added up all the amount of money that Arsenal get off season tickets, would that pay for a world class striker?
I don't know. I am told that yes. Arsenal is one of the most expensive stadiums possibly in the world.
Oh, certainly to is, get yeah. into. It's not cheap to go there.
And that the loyal supporters, they pay an awful lot of money.
They do.
And you can possibly, I mean, at first, my first thought when I heard that was, well, you know, how conceited entitled could you possibly be?
But then when you
just think it through, you think, well, hang on, they're paying all this money and they don't, supporters don't get any return for the money that they pay.
But obviously they expect something.
But they obviously expect some kind of return, and that return presumably is in the form of new players. Mm. And they must think to themselves, well, where is our money going if it's not going? I mean, like, it's not like it's used to subsidise ticket prices, is it?
No.
So I mean, so it must go somewhere. So who's trousering the cash, and why isn't it being spent? And maybe that's why. Do you think that's what they're thinking is that somehow?
Maybe they're thinking that no, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to have an inquiry. We're not going to fly a plane over the Emirates. That would just be churlish.
Considerably more fun and possibly more effective than an inquiry. I mean, those judges are expensive.
Yeah, but I don't know how big a plane you'd have to go. So, dear Mr. Wenger, please could you tell us why you haven't actually made many more outfield science?
Yeah, we demand a detailed explanation as to why you're
flown over the stadium.
Stop coaching that team and tell us why you didn't sign any players. I assume Arsene didn't sign any players because he didn't fancy paying for the ones that he wanted.
I think
Benzema
and Cavani, and you're going up against two clubs that are incredibly cash rich, and with two players who are first team players for them. I mean, you've got to really think, like, how are you going to entice someone like that away from those clubs? I mean, it's huge. Arrogance to assume that they'd want to come to Arsenal rather than playing in Paris or Madrid.
I can see why they might want to go to Arsenal if they play at PSG, but I can't see how anyone would want to move from Real Madrid if they're playing in the first team.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, if they're kind of being rotated out and they feel, you know, that the wind is changing, and the wind changes a lot at Real Madrid's ground, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They might think, well, okay, now the time is for me to move on. And then they put the...
When Ozil came, Real Madrid had just brought in a load of new talent in there. There was always going to be a lot more competition for places there. And, you know, we paid a premium for him. But I think that would have been more than eclipsed by the amount of money to bring Benzema there.
Yeah.
To a club that really didn't need to sell.
Yeah, if the coaches are saying, no, I'm picking this guy.
Yeah.
You know, every week. So why would I want to sell him if I'm picking him?
Yeah, you know? I did read somewhere yesterday that it was more likely that Ibra was going to come to Arsenal than Cavani. And I thought, well, that's a bit impish of you to put that out there, but would be great.
Everyone wants to sign Ibra. Everyone wants to sign Zlatan. There are no exceptions.
No matter what people say.
I mean, Arsenal, Champions League club, Championship contenders. You know, if those are the kind of players that the expectations that they set, you can't just sign those players. Mm. And, you know, like an Anthony Marshall is the big one that people are talking about. And I know nothing about this guy, apparently I've read he's either going to be a complete flop or he's going to be a complete success, depending on whose opinion you read. But it's a lot of money to pay, and I would imagine that Arsenal would probably feel that they're capable of bringing those kind of players through from their youth squad, which is where they spend presumably quite a lot of money.
Well, how old is he?
He's 19. The thing is about the kid is that we're used to people bringing over teenage talent, but not spending that much money on them.
No.
And I think there is perhaps a little voice in the back of a lot of United fans' heads that's saying, we've seen this before. We've seen players that we've got rid of players this summer that have come here that have been touted as being the best thing ever.
Mm.
People like Bebe is probably one of the biggest examples there. Yanezai's going for a year.
This weekend Yanezai went and Hernandez.
Yeah, went as well to
Leverkusen, didn't he?
That's going to be a cracking signing for Bayer Leverkusen
this summer. I mean, I remember when he came in the side and everyone was going about, so this guy is like the most talented defender you'll ever see. Like, you know,
truly hideous puns as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I do think you have to. Speaking of puns, I do think you have to question United's planning when they were signing Marshall.
Topical.
Yeah. Fine. Sajay. One for the grandads, that one.
Martial, isn't it? I don't know how it's pronounced. We haven't been privy to the tape, so thanks, Premier League. You sent that tape of all the pronunciations of everyone.
Yeah. Award-nominated podcast, The Sound of Football. Do we get a tape from the Premier League?
Other than that, or they think that our pronunciation of players like Jana Jazz is perfect. Yeah.
I said the Evening Chronicle of Newcastle carried a story on pronunciations. For the players that joined Newcastle and Sunderland.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was ridiculed in the, by just everyone on Twitter. It was really funny. It was so much so, I didn't bother reading the article because just the piss-taking was just too good. I didn't want to actually spoil it by actually discovering the facts.
But no, that's what Twitter's there for, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I don't want the facts.
It's to give you the facts in a digestible way.
Yeah, in a cat video. That's how I want it. Yeah. Well, we signed two players, one called Mvila, which I may have pronounced incorrectly. Like I said, I didn't read it.
We don't know. We don't know.
And another one whose name is Lens or Lon, or I don't know. But they're both very good.
Mm.
And we got Fabio Bruni. Like I know I pronounced that correctly. Yeah,
Lens, like the 90s band.
I'm not laughing at that pun. No one's laughing at my Marshall pun. You're getting nothing from me.
At least this was in the last 20 years.
It's still relevant today.
Oh, yeah, with all this financial turmoil, of course it's more relevant than ever.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
A little bit of politics, Yeah.
The thing is, a really interesting signing because he had an extremely promising career. Particularly internationally. Mm. I don't know whether or not, he went to Kiev, and it's always difficult with players who went to Kiev, who go to Ukraine, because nobody ever watches the Ukrainian league, and yet it is quite strong because there's a bit of money in there.
Yeah.
And so nobody's quite sure what happens. The perception is that if you move to Ukraine, you go for the wedge and you're not necessarily furthering your career by doing so. I don't know whether or not that's true. That might just simply chauvinism, West European chauvinism or Middle European chauvinism. But he got into some bother a few years ago because he got banned for international competition for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
Just when he was really sort of kicking on internationally, he went out on an unauthorised night out while on international duty, and the ban was quite harsh. And I think a lot of people felt that it was quite short-sighted as well, because he was coming on, and it might have been better to have put the arm around him and sort of said. Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting that he's obviously come back into the Premier League, and I think that it's possible that if he is as good as people say he is, then you've got a pucker player there. Certainly, that goal that he scored last weekend or the weekend?
Suggests
that there's some gorgeousness going on in there.
But controversy still follows him.
Oh, right.
Because just before, because he was wanting away from Kiev, I think he was put in. He was in an apartment that the club had supplied him, and because they wouldn't let him leave, he smashed the place up, as you do.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, telling straight out the window. That's not as difficult as it used to be. You can post a television through the crack of the window.
We're all capable of doing it now.
What is a television these days?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he arrived.
A lot lighter.
He arrived at Sunderland, played a game in the reserves, and was sent off after about 20 minutes for headbutting someone.
Okay.
And this wasn't just heads came together. I mean, he put the guy on the floor.
Soon enough, get that stick bang.
Yeah, 20 minutes with his new club.
Okay.
He did actually start the next week, I think, with a lot of instruction around you can't do that in the English league.
No.
Go
back to Ukraine if you're going to go.
Can you just sign this inventory list
for the area of the world? But
that does sort of then add perhaps extra meaning to the unauthorised night out, because obviously for
cage fighting.
Buying heads off chickens and whatnot.
Well, maybe that's why he's gone to the northeast, because Newcastle and Sunderland are cracking nights out, if you like, a bit of the old ultra-violence.
Well, so, there you go, you heard it here first. Right. Like, 4 stars on TripAdvisor. Yes.
A remark that only someone from the North East could possibly make.
It's not an impression, you know. It really does.
It is an impression. I just live it the whole time. A method Northern.
Totally method. See, like, before 1994, you were as cockney as anything. Yeah.
I was actually, I had a West Country accent.
Yeah, so listeners, if you remember Wurzel Gummidge from the 1970s, just, or YouTube it, that's what Jan used to sound like in the 1990s.
Exactly what it used to sound like.
Transfer deadline day would not be transfer deadline day were it not for Sky telling us it was transfer deadline day and it being yellow everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, I did actually watch some of it yesterday.
Mm, good on you.
Yeah, because, you know, I thought, why not? I'll watch this.
Yeah.
I'll see where this is going. This is a crazy thing that's called transfer deadline day. It did seem like they were aware now of their celebrity. I'm not sure, but I think transfer deadline day on Sky Sports News may well have jumped the shark.
What, this year? Really?
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just thinking that they may have gone a little bit over the top on it now. It's the thing is now that all their remote reporters now have got a bit precious now. They're actually like scurried away out from the
after the dildo incident that had to happen. I mean, you know, they are the Sky. It's all hilarious. It is hilarious.
Yes.
having a dildo. Someone's shoving a dildo. Guys, yeah, it is inherently funny. Never let anyone say it's not.
It was one of the female reporters doing a piece to camera, and then there were two gentlemen behind her doing what I think is called in the trade a field fuck.
Not literally.
No. There was a field fuck. There were clothes. One of them provocatively draped himself across a fruit machine, and the other one rogered him. I think is the other term. Wow. And all on camera.
Right. So
brilliant.
A bit of frotting going on.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. But, I mean, he's great.
It is great.
It's great to see two guys, you know, expressing themselves in such
a way. Showing their love for each other.
It's quite beautiful.
I almost cried.
I'm sure. No, Pash,
but,
stop.
Hey,
there.
But talking about people getting shafted, what about Sino Ferreira?
Indeed. Great transition.
That was a beautiful link.
That was a great transition.
Beautiful.
Well, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What, the whole thing?
The whole thing,
from start to finish, yes. Everyone involved is ridiculous.
Yes, and, well, everyone's, and this is one of those situations where nobody knows what happens.
Yes.
Because if somebody knew what happens, then probably the transfer would have gone through.
Yeah.
So you've got a gap of understanding between two parties, which is so big that no one person involved in the whole thing understood completely what was
going
on.
Sky Sports News yesterday went completely Sky News on the whole thing.
What?
Because what they had, it was just like
it suddenly became serious.
No. What it was really was like you know when something happens and nobody has an idea of what actually happened.
You
know, take for instance like very very serious that like when that airliner went missing.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody knew what happened.
No, so, that's right.
But
no.
Didn't stop them bringing a load of experts in there just to guess for hours on end about what happened.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they did yesterday with the Sino Ferreira thing. What they did was they all talked around, they sat around a big table, they got people like Paul Mercer in there, Charlie Nicholas and stuff like that, and they were, what's happened here?
And the thing is, no one knows.
Nobody knows!
And no one, including the people you know who matter in that whole deal.
Mm.
And I think it's disappointing in every conceivable way, because I suspect that by the end of it, it had just turned into a pissing competition between Jeremy Peace and Daniel Levy.
Mm.
And I think that this guy is, I mean, I don't mean to be patronising, and I apologise for being patronising, but I mean, when I was his age, I didn't know my arse from my elbow.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't expect, you know, young men to be able to, you know, participate in these kind of negotiations and without good advice and having
especially the sums involved
to look after them.
Yeah. Life-changing sums.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that everyone was talking about though was basically him declaring that he was going to go on strike, and this actually happened an hour before deadline. I think that tweet came out, and I think that's what people said. Well, hang about. This is someone trying to sort of like you know, do something what everyone else was saying was is totally unprofessional. Saying, right, okay, I won't play for the club. What he said was, I won't play for Jeremy Peace.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even say I won't play Jeremy Peace, which could mean any kind of.
Yes, he didn't even say four. He missed out. That's very, very good. He's playing more mind games than anyone.
I'd suggest that was to try and force through what was probably at that stage a faltering transfer. Yeah. I mean, there's another thing to consider as well. That both clubs that ultimately became involved weren't involved at all until later in the show, if you like, because it's conceivable that an agent out there wanted to make some money like all his mates were and just started chucking it around the press that he was going to Spurs, and that might not have happened at all.
Or do you think, like, you know, what happens a lot, like, on property deals, you know? You know, when everyone's got the removal man coming round, and all of a sudden on exchange day, phone call comes around and say, "Oh yeah, they want to drop $5,000 off the price."
Yeah, could gazumping.
Yeah,
it could be. Another thing to think about as well.
Just try it. See how it is.
Yeah. But the last time a player did something as
if you've ever done that, you're scum.
Yeah, we don't like that.
Yeah.
Another player that did something similar was, of course, Odin Wingie. Who was also trying to get away from West Bromwich Albion?
I must be excited about
this. This was the equivalent of driving down to the Spurs car park and parking outside.
Well, I think he was down. he was down in London, ready to sign, as I understand it.
And he must have probably woke up in the morning thinking, "I'm going to be a Spurs player by the time this is all over."
Yeah, yeah.
And he must be bitterly disappointed. Yeah, we can go into that another time perhaps, but I think that it also is really, really weird because obviously he signed a contract and he can't go just leave and go to another club.
Mm.
But I mean, you know, he lives in the UK, you know, and he works for a company and goes to work for another company and he can't do that and he's being physically prevented really from doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I don't find that to be particularly fair, even though it is law. I understand that it's perfectly lawful.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder whether it would just lead me to think one day whether or not maybe someone will have enough money to challenge the legality of having a contract that says you're not allowed to move from one employer to another unless we say you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, any of us that are actually in work, no, not ladies of leisure.
Self-employed, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You can move to any employer you want, and we sign contracts of employment, and you can leave those contracts providing you adhere to the exit rules and things like that.
Mm.
Footballers effectively are on fixed term contracts.
Yeah.
To get out of those, you've got to be bought out of them, which seems really strange. And it's an odd situation
mm.
because you're right. You're selling your time to an employer for the market rate or more if you can get it. Mm-hmm. Good on you if you can. But you can't get out of that, and it's a strange thing. And it can make young men slaves to big corporates. And effectively, that's what these clubs have. Although I don't think that they are corporations. Per se, but they behave like them, and so they've got these assets, and they and some clubs mm-hmm. actually put the players down on their balance sheet as assets.
So, but in that respect, you can also say that the players themselves are corporate entities in their own right as well,
conceivably.
And I think that's probably what it's more like. Unfortunately, they're not the human beings, and they have the frailties, and they have the desires that the human beings have.
I wouldn't use the term slave, but I would use the term commodity.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is right somehow. That just doesn't strike me as being right. And I wonder, I mean, you know, if a club wants to get rid of a player, they want to sell them, then, okay, technically speaking, the player has recourse and say, no, I've got my contract here, I'll stay. But usually they know which way the wind is blowing and will go, right, okay, I better go. And then they will take that. And really then they have a choice, but they don't have much of a choice. It's not a great choice. And it seems to me, and then when I get quite annoyed when people complain about players and they say they're being disloyal because they won't sign a new contract. And they'll say, well, no, I'm going to run my contract down to the end and then I'm going to leave. And people say, well, that's horrible, that's disloyal. And it's like, well, no, I mean, the guy wants to leave. The guy wants to go further their career that they should be allowed to do that. Everybody should be allowed to further their career, and how unpleasant it is, and how after so many years it still sticks in the craw.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation is that players are entitled to further their career. They're professionals.
Of course they are. It annoys me as well when people use that term loyalty, because this has been said many a time, but it is a short career. They are well paid for the restrictions that they're put under. There's no doubt about that. Mm. But you're right that these things should be fair.
I think it's very
much suffering, but no.
It's very easy when you look at the long term servants of clubs, the very 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 good players, like people will say, oh well, Tony Adams, he never had to ask about what the contract was. He just signed it. Was never any thought of Arsenal selling Tony Adams. He got a good contract because of how good a player he was.
Yeah.
For the club. But what about all those other players at other clubs that didn't make it so well, or that where their careers didn't pan out well? They were out the door as soon as the club cared because
nobody noticed them because they were no good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they don't deserve some kind of protection. Yeah. So,
loyalty doesn't work only if you're a good player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
But I think that we that just raises that issue, and it comes up from time to time.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole thing is very, very sad in some respects. Fortunately, the Mourinho has a good coach in Tony Pulis, who I don't think will hold it against him, and will probably, if anyone's capable of, getting him back into form and getting him focused on his job, because there's always winter transfer window, and
of course there's
always a summer, and if he comes in, scores another 10 goals, then maybe a club, dare I say, bigger than Tottenham will want to come in.
Well, I mean,
even Crystal Palace.
You never know. Well, that's the thing about this situation, isn't it? Because none of it's about football, is it?
No.
It's about vested interests.
Oh, yeah.
It's about somebody wanting a commodity that's better than another, what they currently have. It's about agents wanting to get paid. It's about players wanting to get paid. It's about clubs trying to cash in on
what
they've
got. It's about how your club is presented on Sky Sports News as well.
But at the same time, he's just, I want to get in the England team. I want to do this, that, and the other. He wants to further his career. You're right. Pulis should help him do that, because in the end, Pulis isn't in. He's not there for the finances. He's there to deliver on the pitch.
Yeah, he's got a job to do.
So hopefully he can get him focused, and because he's a good player. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Mm. Well. Yes, and on that rather serious point, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. I think now that's all settled down, we could just get into the business of league football, can't we? Well, no, we can't, because everyone's going off to play international football.
But that's okay, because next week we'll talk about international football.
Yeah, we will.
But not the way you think, listeners.
No, not the way you think, because that's the kind of guys we are, as you know, because you come back all the weekend.
Mind you, we don't know how you think.
Yeah. And then after that, of course, it's the top two playoff in the Premier League. Man City Palace.
Indeed, it's the big one.
The big one.
It's the big one. Yep, absolutely. Got to wait for the hype for that. Wow.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a 3 o'clock pickup, isn't it?
It probably is going to be Saturday at 3 o'clock. £1 million is not on the sky.
you've got another week. Well, probably less than a week, because we're a bit later than usual coming up. But for me, Graeme Sibley, for the Anvil, and for Terry, it's goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Toast. Toast. Toast.
Toast.
Toast.
Toast.
Toast. Toast. Toast. Toast.